Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Go on, Sir Dame FC!
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Insert Name FC, episode 23. I'm your host, Hector Flores, and with me, as always, is the other host of the show and my best friend, Edward Robles.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yep, episode 23, man.
The David Beckham episode. No, little asterisk here. We won't be talking about David Beckham. I as a story.
Not as a story. I mean, we do throw out David Beckham a little bit later, like in the interview that we got for this episode, but it's a little interesting. But anyways, David Beckham. I mean, there's a lot of, is there a lot of 23s when you, iconic 23s besides, I mean, Michael Jordan?
Yeah, we could actually say David Beckham slash Michael Jordan.
But obviously that's basketball. This is a soccer podcast.
Bro, I mean, I'm just saying MJ.
I mean, There is a relation with soccer and basketball. I mean, we've all seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, it also just because of like European based athletes do come to the NBA to play basketball. So I mean, Antoine Griezmann is a big basketball fan.
Yeah.
LeBron James owned part of Liverpool. I believe Steph Curry has some ownership of Chelsea.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but don't quote on me. James Harden owns the Dynamo. Partly owns the Dynamo.
Yeah.
And affiliates himself with Arsenal. So there's that.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I guess basketball and
soccer kind of go.
Kobe Bryant, one of the biggest soccer supporters that we can think of in the NBA.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's also a big soccer. I mean, he's from Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So the Greek freak.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have like obviously the Euro based players, the ones that play that were from Spain, France, parts of Europe, even the African based players. I mean, obviously for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess you can say
they kind of go connected.
There's a connection.
There's a connection there. Yeah.
Just 7 feet players versus
5'4", 5'5", 5'9".
It's crazy how like
defenders are like, how
all these like 6'5" plus guys idolize Messi's 5'7".
So. Yeah. They're like, that dude has quick feet. Like, yeah, no shit. Like, but Messi's like, oh man, these guys actually do pretty badass. Like, I'll bet you Messi would want to do a slam dunk.
Does he have the hops for it?
I don't know.
I mean, the first we ever saw him jump was in that Champions League final.
The little fish jump?
The little fish jump that we did on Hinge FC. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned for that, guys, because that's coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. So, okay, let's go to the guy that we've mentioned before we talked about Michael Jordan. David Beckham. Where do you throw him at?
Not top 10, but top 20 for sure. I'm positive about that. Maybe even breaking the top 15 in my list. But
is he like barely making it though?
No,
or he's like well into like
he's well in the top 15 for me because he's done some crazy ass free kicks where I'm just like, what in the
hell? Didn't he score a goal off of a corner?
Yes, he did too. And I think that was actually part of the LA Galaxy thing too. He just kind of stood there like, everybody came and hugged him.
I mean, when David Beckham came to the MLS, it was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you had a player leave Real Madrid. I mean, I don't necessarily think it was he left Real Madrid. I think it was like his time was done in Real Madrid kind of thing.
Yeah.
But still, it was huge. I mean, David Beckham, he was the big...
He was a big name.
I don't necessarily... Okay. I think it is just because like there's people that know... That don't know soccer, that knew David Beckham, and it's kind of you can say the same thing with now. Like you know, people don't watch soccer, but they know about Messi, or Ronaldo, or Mbappe,
right?
You know, but they don't watch soccer like that. They just know of those guys, and David Beckham was that guy. And I mean, also obviously he was a model. I think Calvin Klein or something like that.
Yeah.
Married a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
He was not only just a soccer player, but he was famous.
He was famous. Like let's put it this way: back in those days, he would have been Instagram famous because of the whole modeling thing. He would have been on like GQ. He's been on GQ, I believe, and he's been on like all these other men's fitness, men's health kind of shit as well. So he's been around the world. Doing various things. I'm pretty damn sure in the Asian community as well. Like if you go to like Japan, you know, there's billboards of him. Mm-hmm. You know, China, the same thing. There's billboards of him, you know, because everybody idolizes David Beckham just because of all the stuff that he's done in soccer and outside of soccer.
No, yeah, I totally agree with that. But yeah, I think I for sure would like kind of like you, I'll put David Beckham in my top 15.
Yeah.
I know that maybe some people would throw the word overrated with David Beckham. I mean, personally, I wouldn't, but I can see why.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting paid buku money. Like, dude could literally wipe his ass with it. But I think he is where the line overrated is. He barely touches that line, and then he just kind of stays right on. Like, he's not overrated, but. I'm pretty sure.
But you can see someone's argument.
But I can see somebody's argument on that side, just because of like how the contracts work for him getting that kind of money when he came to LA Galaxy.
Yeah. So I mean, man played for Manchester United, played for Real Madrid,
Milan.
On loan. Yeah, he did Milan, and then ended his career in PSG.
Yeah.
So I mean,
and then in the English senior team, in the English men's national team, like that.
There was some disdain towards David Beckham.
There was initially. For like a little bit, but then he redeemed himself. I think it was with that free kick that made him go ahead. And I was like, oh, damn, he redeemed himself. Everybody was like, he redeemed himself with the ugly shit that he did when he got that red card. I think.
It was the red card. I believe it was against Greece.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I mean, David Beckham, I mean, obviously, I can't think of any another player with the War 23. At least groundbreaking enough for me.
Yeah. You don't really see a lot of 23 numbers out there. That's really unique, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why, at least in soccer, and it's not like being disrespectful to the number 23, but I mean, technically David Beckham's number is 7. I mean, that's what he wore in England. That's what he wore in Manchester United. I mean, he's one of the legendary 7s for Man U. But when I think of 23s, it's either like just they decided...
I'm trying to think.
It's just a player, I just couldn't get the number that I would want to wear, so I'm just going to wear, I'm a Rock Jordan.
Yeah, right. And if any of our listeners know of a good, a badass 23 that we may have overlooked, you know, tweet us, send us an ad on Instagram, send us a message, so that way we can actually know if we missed a 23.
And what's our Instagram and Twitter?
Insert name FC.
Good job, Edward. I know.
All
right, man. So we got a pretty good show today, man. We obviously have our headlines. We're going to have our game recaps. We actually interviewed Eli Lesser of This Week in MLS with Eli Lesser. He is starting up a YouTube channel, but he's mainly known for what he's done in Instagram. Damn near almost at 50,000 followers.
Nice, so, Eli.
So, I mean, the guy covers the MLS. Great interview. You know, he's from LA. We're from Houston.
Yeah,
take that for what you want. But he was a really cool guy. Actually, didn't say anything mean about the Astros.
I'm pretty sure we can agree on tacos. since LA is known for like their food trucks with tacos, we love tacos here. So
I mean, I was born in LA, so I had the LA, I had the LA ties.
Yeah.
But anyways, I will say I'm a Texas boy. But yeah, so great interview, and then players of the week, and we will not be previewing any upcoming matches this weekend, only because the next week, well, this coming week, because obviously we're dropping this episode on Thursday, but the following week we are back with Champions League and Europa League. But yeah, so we will be. It's gonna be a quick preview. It's nothing like we're not gonna go in depth with each game. If you guys want to see our in depth analysis about these games, make sure you are following Unhinged Sports. So at Network Unhinged on Twitter and Unhinged SN on Instagram, because we actually started an exclusive show called wait for it, Unhinged FC.
Oh, gee.
Where we will be. It will be dropped on match day for Champions League. So you guys know Champions League, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We'll be having our previews for those games on that day. So it's going to be me, Edward, and Kelsey from High and Low Sports.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Shout out to Kelsey.
Shout out to Kelsey. Yeah. It's going to be fun. So we're just going to do a quick preview of the knockout stages for the Champions League and Europa League. Just so you guys can say, hey, man, you guys didn't cover Champions League and Europa League. Well, guess what? We did it. But anyway, and then obviously wrap things up with 3 up, 3 down. I think it's going to be a little interesting one. I think all our 3 ups and 3 downs are pretty interesting. But anyway, so, you know what? Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for winning the Super Bowl. And you know what? You know, if you're a Texans fan, maybe you're not feeling the Texans right now. Or maybe you're just a bandwagon. Hey, man, you know, there's no shame. Rock who you want to rock with. Or maybe you're just a Tom Brady follower. I don't care. I really don't. Anyways, but now is some time to get some fresh new swag of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Fanatics. Fanatics.com has a wide variety of sports, of all sports from the NFL. Obviously, we just dropped the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
To NASCAR and, of course, soccer. So start your year or your February, right? On the right track with Fanatics. Check the link on our bio. That's our link tree. Click on that link tree. You're going to see a link that says Fanatics. Click on that link and get some shopping done. And when you do that, you will be supporting Unhinged Sports Network and, of course, us in certain MFC.
Yeah, and if you guys want to be, you know, like he said, the bandwagon, I've seen some memes online. Ain't going to lie. A lot of people are posting this one up talking about, hey, Brady, you want to prove you're the GOAT? Come to the Houston Texans. Go ahead.
No, he can't say the Texans.
Hey, you never know. But, you know, if you guys want to do that and actually show Brady some love, you know, get a Texans jersey with his name on it.
Yeah, he's not going to Houston.
Hey, you never know. He might save it.
He's not going to save it.
Brady did good. No, I'm just saying. I'm not
trying to take away from Brady. I mean, Brady performed well, but I mean, Tampa Bay had a solid defense. Congrats to Todd Bowles, man. I hope he gets a head coaching job.
Yep.
At some point, because he did a really good job calling that defense against Patrick Mahomes. Who?
To be fair, I think he didn't have two of his main receivers or two of his tackles. His tackles.
Yeah, there's that, but I mean, at the same time, it wasn't so much like I don't think. Okay, so this is gonna be us talk about football a little bit. I don't necessarily think it was so much on Patrick Mahomes. I think it was just so much his receivers just failed him.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, one got, like, he literally threw a football at someone's face, and they still didn't catch the ball. So, I mean, like, I think Patrick Mahomes did what he could, but I just, his team kind of, in some way, I don't want to say it like that all negatively, but his team kind of failed him in some regard. Shout out to Spencer, though. He was actually at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that boy was fans.
So, shout out to Spencer. Lucky bastard.
I know.
Wish I could go to the Super Bowl.
I wonder how many girls he found over there. Anyways.
Okay, anyways. All right. Let's get it in with some headlines, man. So, this has actually kind of been going on. Honestly, this has been happening. Like, let's not like try to say as if that this is just happening, but it's just now you have people speaking up on it now because it's kind of getting a little too much. But there's some racial abuse going on Instagram towards a lot of the black soccer players.
Right.
And it kind of here's the thing though. I understand with social media. Social media is it could be like a really uplifting place, but at the same time, a really dirty, gritty, disgusting. I don't know, gritty is a terrible word. Disgusting, just horrible.
Toxic.
Cesspool that it is. Especially Twitter. When you go really into the dark side of Twitter, like, yeah, there's no coming out of there. Like, it's people are ruthless, and I can't say anything because I don't say anything racial, but I do troll. But you know, some of these people do take it way too far with what they do. And Rudiger from Chelsea actually claims social media companies don't care. And I mean, clearly. This is where I'll say that where I don't think is that they don't care. It's just, it's not necessarily something simple to filter. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You can't, like, I mean, the most you can do as far as like yourself is just block them. It's not a great solution, but if that is like the issue, like, you just, you know, that's really your only option. It's not like, right. I mean, if that's the case, it would just mean that Instagram and Twitter, like all the social media platforms would have to have like a censorship or some sort of tool that like that finds, you know, insensitive comments that are either, you know, body shaming or racial or, you know, anti-religious, you know, things.
I think they do try to filter them out, but it's just,
it's just so many backdoors. It's so much. It's just so much. And I mean, in the larger scheme of things, you're kind of hoping. And this isn't me saying like it's impossible. I mean, it's not like a solution that can happen right away. But you know, racism just has to not be a thing. But let's face it, in the reality that we're in, it's a gradual process. It's not because in the end of it all, those people that are saying those racial slurs, they're going to be parents.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how, you know, racism continues is when someone's teaching them this. And so,
and what the thing is, like, there was a lot before. I mean, I'm not going to say that it, before everything happened, like with the whole Capitol thing and everything, like the rioting. I know a lot of people aren't going to be calling it rioting. They're going to be calling it protesting. I don't care. But before all that, I guess you could say there was racism. It was just so kept quiet, and they weren't so out there as they are now, because, you know, certain people would say, hey, now speak your mind because I want to let you, or we're going to let you speak your mind. And of course, everybody took it to, okay, I'm going to go ahead and say what I want to say. And then, of course, they just let it loose. And now it's, you can't contain that. You know, and it's not possible to really contain a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I personally don't say anything like that. Then it's not even, I'm not going to say, oh man, I feel like, I mean,
there's a lot. There's clearly, like, if you're going to troll, I mean,
there's trolling. There's a line.
Like, I mean, never go towards, never attack someone's family. Never, I mean, don't take shots at people's family. Don't take shots at race. I mean,
# say no to racism.
I mean, like, think of it like this. I mean, okay, so for example, the Houston Astros. Yeah. A lot of people, look, man, if you're outraged by the cheating scandal, and in some way you feel like your team was robbed, well, you know, okay, you know, that's the whole point of social media, is that you can use your platform to speak your mind. But then when you're going out and sending death threats to players and wishing the players that their children were to have cancer. Like, you know, there's like,
that's just dark.
This is like, that's okay. It's like, a baseball game is really going to affect you this much where you're wishing death to somebody.
Especially a child, you know, like, this child had nothing to do with it.
Like, to me, that's where it's ridiculous. I can get the anger towards, like, you want to go bang, bang, you know, like bang, bang jokes or trash can jokes, all that stuff. I get it. If you really feel some type of way about what the Astros did, you know, go ahead and do it, but don't go that far. Like, you don't have to wish death to somebody. You don't have. I'm like, what does the kid have to do with the cheating scandal? Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what does the kid having cancer have to do with someone cheating in baseball game?
Nothing.
And so, but like kind of going back to this, so like, so Rutinger isn't the only player that received similar messages like this on his social media. Manchester United players Lauren James from the women's Manchester United team, Axel Tuanzebe, Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial, just to name a few of players that have also received similar treatments on social media. And so, like, for me, for my question to you or people that are listening to this is, how can social media fix this?
I mean, it's like I said, it's going to be really hard. You can't. Once it's out there, basically that's the thing with the internet. Once it's out there. You can delete it. You can try to edit it. You can. It's out there. There's always going to be somebody screenshotted it, somebody saving it, somebody doing something with it. Like I said, you can delete it. The internet's infinite at this time, and it's not going to get any easier. You can do all these freaking protections that they were talking about a few years back, talking about, oh, we're going to block this and block this and block this, but it's like, you can't really, you know, freedom of speech and stuff like that. And everybody's going to keep using that as a platform. Like, hey, this is the reason why you can't shut me down, because freedom of speech and all this stuff and yada, yada, yada. But honestly, I think it's just in the common sense and decency of a human being for them to shut him down themselves. Because I mean, I don't post anything like that at all. I'll be honest, hardly get on social media. But if I do, I'll go ahead and post some funny memes or something like that. But nothing too extravagant, nothing too out there where, you know, hell, I'll probably get a lot of hate if I go ahead and put it on out there. And sometimes it's not just because, oh, people are going to judge me. No, I'm like, no, just I don't feel that. You know, I don't feel it.
Yeah, I think the issue isn't so much. I don't think it's like I feel for the players that are. And I mean, this is obviously not just a soccer thing. This isn't just a sports thing. This is like, I'm sure it happens to everybody that has a massive following that is of a different race. Unfortunately, that the fact that we live in a world where race is a thing is still unfortunate. But it's just the fact that, like, your social media can only do so much, and it's not like they can really change anything. Well, at least significant enough to end this.
Yeah,
because I think that, like, obviously the only way to really stop this is from, you know, well, racism kind of just has to not be a thing. Race has to not be a thing, but it's gonna be a thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been made big already, so to tone it down or to shrink it, it's looking pretty impossible. But like you said, it's just in the upbringing, so maybe later on in life, you know, we can go ahead and
start the healing.
Yeah,
no, yeah, I totally agree. And I know that this is maybe like a really touchy subject, and I know you guys are hoping to hear us.
Everybody's talking about where's soccer at?
Goof off or something like that. And I mean, yes, we like to be funny. We like to, but you know, this is like an issue that personally I just don't like. And that's the reason why I wanted to mention this in the headline, just because it's frustrating, man. Like, you know, we do all this stuff like the hashtag end racism, you know. The, you know, stop the hate. You know, we have people showing support for the, you know, Black Lives Matter, and then, you know, it's unfortunately, like, I think it's just like, as much as we're making the right strides, I think we're in the right direction. We're moving, you know, we're moving, at least
we're trying to move away from the negativity,
but unfortunately it's still there. And it's one of those things that this isn't going to be like the next morning it's over.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where
it's going to take a time.
It might even be like when Edward's kids
are grandparents, and maybe they,
then even maybe, and that's even a big then, maybe it's a big maybe.
That's a big maybe.
So that's unfortunate. I don't like thinking like that, but and it sucks, because, you know, like, you know, people are gonna say, well, why don't they just ignore it? But it's harder to ignore.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy to think that, like, you know, we live. It's one of those things where you can get like 1,000 compliments. But you get that one.
Well, there is also this one thing that I just thought about. Like, literally, back in the day, we didn't post certain videos like that, you know, like racial slurs or anything like that on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, whatever. We didn't have that. when we were growing up. In our high school days, like, we only had the video cameras. We had freaking razors. We had the slider phones. We didn't have all this fancy stuff now, that touchscreen phones, the iPhone. We didn't have that. And then yet, there was no discovery. Even when the iPhone first came out, there was only a camera phone. Nobody really posted. Instagram didn't exist at that time.
And I think at that time, the big thing was YouTube.
Was YouTube, Facebook, and that was it. That was it. But then all these things started coming out where basically people were like filming and stuff like that. And then, of course, you started seeing spontaneous websites come out with, oh, this person said this and we got it on camera, you know, stuff like that. And it just,
cancel culture, which,
yeah,
at least as far as I know recently, country singer Morgan Wallen actually had a video come out of him saying the N-word. So he's canceled. This is the thing that I know that I thought was weird was that everyone's like even radio stations aren't really, you know, playing his music now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
But weirdly enough, the downloads or like I guess listens on like streaming music services increased for him, and it's just like that's alarming.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, so you, because of the fact that like he's getting canceled, and this isn't me saying like don't cancel Morgan Wallen or cancel Morgan Wallen, because frankly I just don't care. I mean, not saying that I don't care about him saying the N-word, but it's just like the thing that I mean is just the fact that like we caught this video of him saying this word, and take it for what you want, but like if. One, this word should not be said, period. But, I mean, he said it, and I mean, there is outrage, and I don't blame the outrage. But then for the people to defend him as if he did nothing wrong, because that's what I'm getting the vibe from the people defending Morgan Wallen, is that, you know, oh, I'm still going to listen to his music because he's a great guy. I'm like, well, the guy literally just, I mean, I get it that using a racial slur doesn't necessarily, okay, yeah, racial slur is actually a pretty terrible thing to do. But, you know, that doesn't like instantly, you know, changes who he is, you know, but unfortunately that's what is going to be the thing. He's going to be the guy that said the N word now. I mean, I'm sure he can try to redeem himself in some way, because I do believe in redemption. But yeah, no, whatever he's dealing with right now, he kind of deserves it, because, you know, he said that in his own, like what he felt was in a comfortable place where he, you know, he, you know, like as if he knew that there was nobody watching him. Like there's no, you mm-hmm. know, he wasn't under a microscope. So he was comfortable when he said it because he was comfortable. So if anything, that tells you who he is.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show that even in the darkest places, you know, if somebody has a camera there, somebody will get it and it'll be out there, especially now in this day and age.
Especially when you're famous.
Yep.
But yeah. So, I mean, I just thought that was an interesting example, but yeah, with the issue with this though, it's going to take time. But there has to be, a united front that like, hey man, we want this over. Like, there's got to be somebody out there like, hey man, come on, it's 2021. Why is racism still a thing?
Yeah, but I mean, shit.
But that's just kind of wishful thinking. But still, just. Decided to mention that story just because, like I said, it's something that it does bother me that it's going on, and it's kind of one of those things is like you want it to end, but it's one of those things that it's gonna gradually have to be, as long as everybody's on the same track, on the same in the same wavelength, that they want the same as well, that it's gonna take time for it to get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna get better anytime soon, like you said, but. We'll see. We're trying to move past it, and we're trying to move forward. So we'll see what's up, man.
We'll see, man. All right, man. So, kind of going, you know, trying to go do a 180 now. Old Gunner admits that Manchester United are not contenders. How do you feel about that?
You remember how we were joking around? How we were like, "Well, man, look, like he's always funny. Like he's a fun. It's working for him." Now he's saying they're not real contenders.
And this is the quote that he ends up saying: "We should not even be considered title chasers."
I don't know what. Okay, here's the thing. I don't know whether the Manchester United big dog is going to be looking at him like, damn, he said that, we're going to fire him. Or if they're thinking like, well, he's being honest, so we'll go ahead and keep him for one more season to do the rebuild, which I think he, that's, I mean, what he was trying there was to a, do.
Like, there was one point this season where Man U was on top of the table. Okay, you and me kind of both.
We both joked about it.
It was all smoke and mirrors, basically. But we kind of called it also. We knew that Man U wasn't going to be able to maintain this. Great run. And, you know, it was fun while it lasted, right, Edward?
It was fun. It was, it was fun as in, yes, as a Manchester United fan, but also as a, you know?
I mean, but yes, I mean, yeah, Man U hasn't really been the same since the start of the second half of the season. They did get to beat Liverpool in the FA Cup, but I mean, not the FA Cup final, but in the rounds of the FA Cup. But I think we all kind of just knew that this team didn't necessarily have it to keep it maintained where their position was. There's just so much turmoil right now in Man U. You got Pogba right on the bench. Bruno Fernandes, I mean, he helps you get into the penalty box, but I mean, aside from that, I mean,
yeah, you can't really do too much.
Yeah. But yeah, there's still so many question marks with Man U. I mean, I'm sure they have exceeded everybody's expectations, at least the honest expectations of Man U.
Yeah.
As
soon as they saw that, I mean, everybody was excited with this manager. Personally, I was like, well, let me see what he brings to the table. He hasn't necessarily, it's like he brought like the whole deck of cards, but he's been drawing like twos or threes. And then recently he just drew like an ace or a king or a queen or a jack. Hell, he drew all the good cards, and then all of a sudden he started drawing the crappy cards all over again, but maybe a mixture of them, like a king and a two, a king and a three, king and a four, something low like that, you know? And so, and the way he looks at it, like, he doesn't have a poker face. You could sometimes, no. Sometimes I look at his face when he doesn't get mad. He'll get like, oh, well, there's always next time kind of smile, like he scores, yeah, he gets happy, or he'll be like, you know, like he won't try to show emotion. But it's like, to me, he has that laughing, joking kind of tell. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but he kind of, like, if he's taking this job kind of like as a joke, but at the same time he's like, damn, I need this job, but, you know, I gotta make it fun. That's kind of like how I see him. And maybe there's going to be a lot of Manchester United fans that may disagree with me. Maybe they agree with me. Who knows? I mean, let me know. Like, maybe I'm wrong. So, I mean, shoot. But that's how I see it. That's how I see him in general. Because I'm like, he's doing... it's like... okay, you're going to laugh. It's like when David Wallace goes to Michael Scott and says, what are you doing right? That is basically how I see the big dogs looking at Ole Gunnar. And even though Ole Gunnar admitted...
And Ole Gunnar's just like, I'm in the need.
Yeah.
The need for tweed.
There you go. Exactly. So yeah. Like, pretty much. Like, if you think about it, that is how Ole Gunnar has been cruising by.
Somehow I managed.
Yeah. With the shirts.
The shoulder shrug.
With the sleeves rolled up. And he's like shoulder shrugging with the hands up and shit. I mean, honestly, like, He is, let's put it this way, he is the Michael Scott of English football, right? I mean, and we all joked about Pochettino, right?
But I mean, yeah, no.
But Ole Gunnar right now, he's the Michael Scott.
So obviously this came from the fact that, man, you loses 2 points. That's basically what it is when they drew with Everton 3-3.
Yeah.
Which they gave up, you know, a game, I think the game drawing goal.
Right.
And I mean, look, man, we knew Man U wasn't gonna be it.
Yeah,
everybody. At least we knew. I don't know about anybody else as far as like Manchester United fans are just. Man U just didn't have it. Ole Gunnar. I mean, he's entertaining. I guess is the right word to use for him now.
I think Ole Gunnar does not have that fire. Or he doesn't give the players that fire that Sir Alex Ferguson gave them.
I mean, it just goes back to the fact that Man U hasn't necessarily been able to recover since Sir Alex Ferguson left. And I mean, Old Gunner, I believe he's a former Man U player, but
maybe he was a different man back then and now he changed somehow. Maybe he took it easier now or something like that. I don't know.
He was an interim manager.
Yeah.
Like that was the reason why he took over. Because obviously with the Jose Mourinho experiment failing, like we always knew it was gonna happen. You needed an interim manager, at least for the time being, and so that was what Old Gunner was. And it's not like he did anything spectacular when he took over. I mean, I'm sure they're like, oh, he exceeded our expectations. But that doesn't mean he's an interim manager. That's what interim managers do.
Yeah, they just take care of
him. You don't give him a job for being a decent, and not even he wasn't great. He wasn't good. He was just like, eh. And this is the part that was so crazy. You're talking about Manchester United.
Yeah.
This is a big club, big history, you know, big legacy. And you should be going out there and getting the best manager possible.
Yeah.
And you go for, and you stick with the interim guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was a period where everyone thought Zinedine Zidane was going to be the new manager of Manchester United.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that was probably that should have been the move.
Yeah. Pogba would have been seeing a lot of playtime.
Literally. All the French players.
Mm-hmm.
That was their moment. We could have sealed the deal, get the guy. No. They decided to ride with Old Gunner. And then
he probably said something on the meeting that maybe caught their fancy or something like that. But I mean, I guess it worked for a little while.
Whatever he said then to now where he's like, we're not contenders.
He probably walked up. He was about to walk out the door and said, you have no idea how high I can fly. But moving on to that note, I want to say, we'll see what happens. Like right now,
I mean, the season still has to be finished. Good. But I agree with him. Like Manchester United are not contenders.
No, and it sucks coming from my head because I'm like,
at least you're not Arsenal. At least you're done.
Mid tier.
All right, man. So the last headline, and that is Zlatan scores goal number 500.
Yeah, congrats, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Congrats.
This is crazy. I mean, obviously, everyone's probably like, oh, it's just 500 goals. I mean, look what Messi and Ronaldo does. But I mean, Zlatan is like, I think for sure a legend in many people's eyes.
Yeah.
He's an arrogant asshole.
He's an arrogant asshole, but that's the thing. It's what makes him who he is.
He's Zlatan.
Like, he talks the talk, but he'll show you. He won't just walk the walk. He will show you what he literally means.
He doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk.
No. But I mean, like, God, I could say that. But I'm saying, like, he will go above and beyond that.
Okay. I mean,
like, he will be like, he'll say something, and he'll go ahead and do it. Fucking Taekwondo kicks and shit.
But yeah, know? So he scores his 51st goal. 501st goal. In the 4-0 win against Crotone. And mind you, you know, Zlatan's 39 years old.
Yeah, and he's still playing in Serie A. It's not even like a B league or anything.
He's playing in the top flight.
Bro.
And so,
honestly, it's weird to say this. He's playing better than he was playing here in the MLS with Galaxy. In my opinion.
You sure about that?
I'm sure.
Because he was killing it in the MLS.
I know he was killing it. But now he's playing better. Like, okay, let me put it this way.
All right, so to put in better perspective, because I think he's in a better club.
Yeah.
At this LA Galaxy, okay, no offense to any LA Galaxy fans out there, but LA Galaxy is not a good team.
I mean, yeah.
No, they're just not a good team. Like, when they went out and bought, like, their players, like, you know, they had a David Beckham, Landon Donovan, and a Robbie Keane when they won the MLS Cup, right? Yeah. I mean, yes, they also had Omar Gonzalez and kind of like a really good cast around them, but they were really talented.
Yeah.
They don't have that talent.
No, they don't.
It was basically Zlatan and Antun.
Yeah.
And I mean, Antun's not a bad player, but he shouldn't be at least your number two guy.
Yeah.
I mean, then you brought in, you bring in some, you know, Pavon. You brought in some guys, but you never really had that same thing that you had with Donovan, Beckham, and Keen.
Yeah, there was some sort of chemistry there. There was some sort of gameplay style.
Because, I mean, even then, LA Galaxy had a really solid backline with David Beckham. And somehow we managed to throw in David Beckham back in here. But, you know, they had that.
Yeah.
But Zlatan didn't have anything. Yeah. I mean, the reason why LA was even remotely in the discussion for the playoffs
was because of Zlatan.
Was because of Zlatan. And also the fact that Dynamo got to ruin their season back to back. But, I mean, aside from that, at least they got to do that. But aside from that, though, yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think, one, this AC Milan team is coming back from going back to their glory days. At least that's what we're hoping for. I mean, they have a very young squad.
Yeah.
The players that they brought in are game changers, mm-hmm. in my opinion. You have one of the best young goalkeepers in the world.
Yeah. And Donnarumma, how do you say his name?
Gigi Donnarumma.
Yeah, there you go. I was like, Donnarumma. And I was like,
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so... And so, like, Zlatan doesn't necessarily have to do all the work. He just needs to be where his teammates need him to be.
Yeah. And which, a lot of the times, he's there. And then sometimes he will need assistance. But somehow he manages alone as well.
Mm-hmm. So I think for sure, yeah, I get what you're trying to say, that he's been better with AC Milan than he has been with the MLS.
But yeah.
I mean, he still had a pretty good MLS career, in my
opinion. Yeah, he did.
So 24 years of playing, man. 24 years. I don't know how long he can keep playing. I'll give him one more, but I think he's going to be hanging him up soon.
Yeah, he might. We'll see. I mean, dude's a machine. Dude's a cyborg, bro.
Maybe not so much that he can't, but I just think there's not going to be that many teams that are going to be
wanting him.
We're wanting to take that chance.
Maybe not in the main league like EPL or maybe even Serie A again, but maybe China, Turkey, Qatar, maybe like the...
That could probably be where he ends up.
He could end up with a lot of money over there, nice home and everything. Hell, he might even go back home to Sweden.
Yeah, I mean, there's some thoughts, but yeah. All right, there were time for some game recaps.
All right, bro. So my game that I chose to recap was Man City versus Liverpool, which I was surprised because I honestly thought Liverpool was going to win, but Man City beat them 4-1. That's not a normal thing, but they were even on shots on goal, but Liverpool only had 3 shots on target, and I believe Manchester City had 5 or all 8 on target. So at that point, it's like you kind of got to see everything else. But the possession was also fairly even. I think Liverpool had more possession. I believe they were above the 50 and Manchester City was around 40-something odd.
You can even say it was 56%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I'm tripping. Sorry, I can't read. But anyways, yeah, so it did take me by surprise. So I was in a little bit of awe. I was like, damn. And then Phil Foden, you know, scored. He's one of my favorite up-and-coming young players, you know. And
it's just crazy thing, man. This kid grew up playing in the rough streets of England. I know some people are probably like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But yeah, watch Green Street Hooligans.
But, you know, obviously he's a young father. Yeah. So, I mean... It's not like you live in the suburbs and become a dad at freaking 15. So.
Yeah, but he showed up, and I mean, although basically the whole Man City team did.
I do like the redemption story of Phil Foden right now because yeah. I mean, obviously this is the idiot that
Mason Green
would try to sneak in some girls up to the hotel rooms and kicked them out of the English camp. So, yeah. But you see him trying to redeem himself. I think obviously he wants to get his shot back with England. And he's doing the right things, man. He's playing. You know, he's focused on the game, and whenever his number's been called, I mean, he's going out there and doing it. So yeah, I mean, no man. I think this is a really big moment for Man City. Obviously, you know, they're trying to get back into it, back on top of the table, and I think this is a win that helps them get back on top.
Yeah, I think so too, and he will soon become a starter. I mean, he's he's playing really, really, really well. And the more time he spends on the field and the training and everything, I think this kid has a definite future. And honestly, in my FIFA, I bought him, and every time whoever my number 10 is, if they retire or they end up getting bought out because of the stupid release clause, I make him my number 10 because he controls dribbles, everything. Like, everything is really, really badass on him in FIFA. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. So, my game is PSG beating Marseille 2-0. I believe this is, you know, as far as league play, this is after the last time they played against each other was actually the whole debacle.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't even know what to say to that one.
But, yeah, so, you know, PSG ends up beating Marseille 2-0. So, I guess you can say they got their payback.
Yeah.
And then Marseille had 53% of the possession. It was a pretty intense, close game when it comes to possession-wise. And Marseille outshot PSG 12-9, which is wild to hear that, you know, PSG got outshot. Not like it's a lot, like a big mismatch in the shot count, but
yeah.
But still, you would imagine PSG being the aggressor, and all that.
Well, maybe PSG was playing it kind of key, kind of low-key, and then they were just working on the counter-attacking. I personally didn't see the game. I'm not even going to, you know, say insinuate that that's exactly what happened, but it just kind of sounds like it. Like, as soon as they would have the ball, boom, 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 counter attack.
Yeah, so the two goals that were scored off by was Mbappe in the 9th minute and Cardi in the 24th. So, I mean, basically it was just, you know, PSG got the lead and just defended it from what it looks like, just kept defending from there on out.
Yeah, I mean.
And I mean, PSG is also trying to get back into their mix. I believe now they're a little bit closer to Lyon and is it Lille? I'm pretty sure it's Lille because Marseille's been struggling.
Yeah, Marseille's been struggling. I mean, but personally, like, haven't really checked out the league yet. Like, Ligue 1, that's one of my best friend likes to call it. Ligue 1.
No, it's Ligue 1.
Ligue 1. No?
Yeah.
Okay. Lagoon. Nah.
Not Lagoon.
Anyways.
Lagoon.
Nah.
You gotta pause between each one. You gotta pause. You're failing. All right, anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, no, yeah, so I think, you know, I'm gonna keep it on French, on the French league, on Lagoon, because, you know, you know, people need to recognize that league. And it's also pretty interesting to see that PSG's not on top right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just waiting for the move. You know the move I'm talking about? Yeah, you know the move I'm talking about.
What, the super the team super or Messi?
The super team. Maybe that's what they're waiting for. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know.
So what, do you think they're going to have a bad season, losing Mbappe, and then get Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi?
Yeah, and then even possible Sergio Ramos. Sergio Ramos won't be too expensive to have him in the back line.
Yeah, I guess so.
So
there is that. What's all that's left is get Buffon back in
power. I'm getting shivers.
I mean, he's not even a starter anymore at Juventus, so he might as well just
go back.
Just have him go. Right, Gigi Buffon's going to be a coach somewhere. Probably PSG, because Pochettino's probably going to get the Real Madrid job at this point.
Yeah.
All right, anyways, so that's the game recaps. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go into my interview with Eli Lesser from This Week in MLS with Eli Lesser. So really interesting interview. I think it was really fun. He's a cool guy. And I think he's very informative. He's very well informed in the MLS. So go ahead and let's get to that interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, guys, with us is a very special guest. I guess MLS reporter would be, I guess, is the right way to say it. Host of This Week in MLS, Mr. Eli Lesser.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Hector.
No problem, man. So we always start our interviews with the same question, and that question is, what got you into soccer?
Yeah, so unlike a lot of soccer fans in general who start falling into love with soccer with the Premier League or Barcelona or Madrid, I actually started with MLS. MLS was my first exposure to soccer. My grandpa was a huge European soccer fan, but when David that's my first exposure really to soccer. And since then, I've fallen in love with the league and the sport. And I follow other leagues now, but MLS has always been my main focus.
Wow. So David Beckham got you into soccer. That is crazy because this is actually going to be episode 23. So that's very ironic in its own way. So that's unique though. We don't get many people that straight up just say that they initially started with MLS. Like MLS is what got them into it. But here you are, you know. So are you an LA Galaxy fan or?
I am a neutral fan now, just because of me covering the entire league, and also with the LAFC rivalry and how LAFC have treated me, because they've treated me really well. I can't just tell them I'm a Galaxy fan because then they're going to hate me or something. So I'm very neutral now. I don't root for a particular MLS team, but I am a Manchester United fan.
Okay, so you and Edward would be very good friends because he's a Man U fan right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's always been a Man U. I don't know why I said right now, but that's really interesting. So, I mean, I think that there's maybe one team that you do kind of troll a little bit, and that's maybe the San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah, that comes from that does come from the Cali Clasico rivalry with the LA Galaxy. I grew up disliking them just because of that. Before I got into like covering MLS, I felt the rivalry, and there was nothing more I wanted than for the Galaxy to beat the San Jose Earthquakes. And you know, now the San Jose Earthquakes try to continue that. They posted one of my Twitter takes. when I said, oh, this team sucks, when they made the last seed of the playoffs, they barely made the playoffs. They posted my take and then they threw it into a dumpster. So that kind of ignited me. And then I said, you guys aren't going to win a playoff match at all. And they didn't. They lost in pens. And it was a pretty pathetic penalty shootout. they did not make a single penalty in that shootout. So I kind of won in the end. But either way, I got free press from that and it was great.
That's how you know you made it, when you have like a club, you know, wanting to try to dunk on you and it kind of backfired on them.
That's the first club to recognize me, but like to say something or like use one of my posts or something.
So kind of going with your platform, I believe you just recently started with a YouTube channel, but you've mainly been with Instagram. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been with Instagram since 2015, and I'm soon going to launch my own YouTube show. So that's why I started my own YouTube channel, and that's why like my Instagram videos are now popping up on YouTube as well.
Okay, that's really cool. So what made you want to be an MLS reporter?
I always wanted to be a sports broadcaster from the beginning of time, when everyone wanted to be Spider-Man, Cinderella. I wanted to be a broadcaster, and I went to a broadcasting camp in 2014, and back then my main sport was baseball. I was a huge Dodger fan. I mean, this is an audio, but you can see me wearing a Dodger hoodie right now.
Just ignore the Astros banner that's over there.
Okay, it's okay. You know what? We finally got our ring. But I came to that broadcast camp the first day wearing my Dodger hat and a gray hoodie. And I look around the room and everyone else is wearing a Dodger hat and a gray hoodie. And I'm like, this is kind of cool, but it's also kind of weird. And throughout that week, I wanted to talk a little bit of soccer with some of the campers, and no one knew anything about soccer. I was like, this is odd. So then by that next year, I returned to that camp and I had started this week in MLS. And I was like, I'm going to be the MLS guy. That's going to be my way to the industry. It's a league that I want to be a part of because it has so much growth potential, and I want to be part of that growth. So that's how it really started. And then since then, I mean, that's what all of what I do has become.
I mean, you definitely got quite the blow up, because I mean, I believe you're almost at 49,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, almost. And
you did a really great job.
Thank you. It started slow, and then around 2018, it really picked up. I think I gained like 20,000 followers that year, and that was like insane. And that just is what really started it.
So what do you think was that helped you blow up essentially?
Definitely the content I used to post back then, which is content I wouldn't recommend posting now. I used to post a lot of rumors and stuff, and that got me into a little trouble every now and then. But then also I would post little, what I would call mini articles. They were just long captions on Instagram, like profiling a player. And every now and then a player would see it and they'd like it and they would like show it off and put it on their story. And that's, I think, when the followings really started.
So what would you give to like someone that's maybe trying to either start up a YouTube channel or maybe trying to get to where you are? Like what would be that advice?
All you have to do is stay consistent. You have to like continue posting consistent. You have to find what exactly you want to be posting. Use that as your identity and just keep posting it. And if you, the more you post, the more people will potentially see your work. And also the more people will come back to your work. You can't post some stuff for a few months and then take like 8 months off because, oh, you didn't think it was working. Then you try to come back. I've seen a lot of pages come and go during my time, but I think the reason why I've stayed put is because I've just kept posting.
I think that's a very good point. I think like, obviously when you're just starting, you know, there's probably like some frustration because you're not getting the likes that you're hoping for. You're just not getting that following that you would hope, but kind of like how you said, like, you know, as long as you're consistent with it, you know, someone's going to catch you and then they're going to, you know, follow you through. And that's where, you know, I think that's what kind of a lot of people maybe give up so easily is because they think that it's just going to happen right away when in reality, that's not how it works.
Yeah. I mean, that never happens unless you do something stupid to go viral. that's the only way that you could be famous overnight. But even like with my YouTube channel now, like I don't have a lot of subscribers, but the goal is to just keep releasing videos because that will heighten my chances of my videos being seen in general. I mean, that's how everyone has to start.
Yep. You got to start somewhere. I think that's like the best way to look at it. So I'm a Dynamo fan and I have been really like, not necessarily the most. Aside from just having Tab Ramos, I'm not necessarily that confident in the organization itself. But if you were able to make me have some faith in this team, what would it be?
Oh, this is the hardest question I've ever gotten. I hate to be a Debbie Downer about the Houston Dynamo. Well, you guys got James Harden as an owner. If you could get him to shoot some soccer balls instead of some basketballs, maybe you guys got a chance.
I think he's too busy in Brooklyn right now. But
I know. But no, things aren't the best for the Dynamo. However, if they could invest in the academy, like FC Dallas has invested, I know you don't want me to praise FC Dallas.
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, I'm actually envious of the FC Dallas Academy. I mean, yeah. they get Weston McKennie and, you know, the best product we've had so far is Memo Rodriguez. So
I mean, some of the best American soccer players ever come from Texas, like Clint Dempsey's from Texas. So like, if you guys could invest in the academy, because it does seem like you guys aren't going to be going after like the big name players, maybe big names from Mexico and South America, but not like the big European stars. So if you could invest in the academy like FC Dallas does, like you guys would put up a squad, and even if you don't put up a squad, you'll put up a young and fun squad that makes a lot of money in the transfer market.
That's what I hope for. At least I think like I said, the only thing that like makes me feel positive is Tab Ramos, and I think it's just because of his approach with youth talent.
Oh, he's great. He is one of the best coaches in MLS. I just wish he had a better team to help him. But Memo, I actually really like Memo, and I think he's going to have a big season if the 2021 season ends up happening, which hopefully it does. But yeah, I mean, you guys have some players. It's sad to see guys like Elisco, Minotas go when they've been your guys' rocks for the past couple seasons. But at the same time, at least you guys made some money off it. Now it's all about what you do with that money.
Unfortunately, they didn't. I think they lost more than they gained from the Ellis deal.
Yeah.
But no, you definitely have a good point. So kind of going back with the MLS, what is it, at least if there is a season to happen, what is there to be excited for like coming up this season?
I mean, just more young American talent, because what we've seen over the past couple of years is first MLS was seen as like this retirement league when all the David Beckhams and Thierry Henrys came to the league. Then we became a league where teams were looking at South America for the best talent, which I think we're still at. But at the same time, now like the academies are getting better and better, and we're seeing so many American youngsters going to top European clubs. And I think teams are trying to realize that and realize that that's the path to success. at least in making money more than winning winning championships. So that's that. And I can't wait for the next generation of the young Americans to come, which is weird because now every season seems like a new generation of young stars just coming up. And that's what's most exciting for me, at least in MLS right now.
Okay. Do you have like a prediction for this? I mean, obviously the MLS season is not for like a few more weeks, but is there like a prediction that you think you can make for this coming season?
Yeah, the safest bet to say would be the Columbus Crew. They obviously won the 2020 MLS Cup, but they got better this offseason, adding Kevin Molino, who was one of the stars for Minnesota last season, and Bradley Wright Phillips, New York Red Bull legend. So just adding those two guys to an already championship team, they have to be considered the favorites to go back-to-back. But in MLS, teams don't usually go back-to-back, so we really don't know.
Yep. I think only, as far as I can remember, I know for sure the LA Galaxy and, of course, the Houston Dynamo, but I know a lot of people like to throw an asterisk on that one.
Yeah. Not many back-to-backs. Like, you could say, like, DC in the first two seasons of MLS went back-to-back. Ooh, big deal. I think Houston might have won it back-to-back in a long time ago. But otherwise, yeah, teams don't go back-to-back, especially nowadays when the league is so competitive. Every season, new teams rise, old teams fall, and just the Seattle Sounders will always make the MLS Cup. So, but, yeah.
So this is going to be my last question for you.
No worries.
Now, the one thing that we know for sure is that there's one final hump for people to finally, I guess, look at the MLS as a true league. And I think is obviously to win the CONCACAF Champions League. And so my question is, do you think how close is it for an MLS team to finally lift the CONCACAF Champions League?
Closer than we've ever been before. I think an MLS team can probably win it next year or in the next couple of seasons. LAFC's run this year, beating three Liga MX teams on the way to the final. Sure, they lost the final, but just knocking out three of the clubs in one tournament was a record, something we haven't seen. And the teams are getting better and better. And LAFC didn't even have a good 2020 season. They just happened to go on this run. So any team could do it. And I think teams like the Columbus Crew might go for it next year. Seattle Sounders will be back. Philadelphia Union, I mean, they might not be playing for the MLS Cup this coming year because they lost a lot this offseason. So they might go all in for the CONCACAF Champions League, which is something that is possible.
All right. I like the sound of that. All right. So Eli, thank you for giving us your time. One of the things that I always say is that time is very precious and valuable. And so for someone to give me some time, I definitely always try to show my appreciation for it. But go ahead and tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at This Week in MLS. Follow me on Twitter at Eli Lesser FC. And then subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Eli Lesser, or This Week in MLS. It's like both. And yeah, that's it.
All right, man. Thanks for giving us the time.
No, thank you so much for having me.
All right, no problem.
Are you tired of cable? Well, we are too. And that is why we want to tell you about FuboTV. FuboTV is a streaming service that provides you over 100 channels and without the hassle of a cable contract. Don't believe us? Click on the link on our link tree and you'll see the link that says FuboTV, and we will hook you up with a 7-day free trial. Just signing up for that 7-day free trial will actually support not only Insurname FC, but Unhinged Sports Network as well.
Indeed.
Hey, and Champions League's coming up, so
it's a good time to sign up, honestly.
Good time to sign up for that 7-day free trial, man.
Yeah, just try it out. I mean, like I said before, Hector's a big, he's big on it. Personally, I would get it, but I just watch it with Hector, so.
He's one of those people.
Yeah. Like, I would just be like, hey, are you going to watch the game today? Oh, you are? Well, let me join you at your house.
But yeah, so I am a customer of FuboTV. I love their service. And it's great knowing that if I'm having any financial struggles or anything like that, I can cancel at any time. But I don't, because obviously I enjoy their service.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good service. So.
All right, Edward. Players of the week.
All right, bro. So my player of the week is none other than Erling Haaland for coming up.
Who's apparently now being eyed by Man City, Real Madrid, Liverpool.
PSG.
PSG.
And maybe Barcelona.
Maybe Barcelona. And I'm sure Bayern Munich
is looking at him.
I'm sure Bayern Munich is.
They're the ones that have the closest eye on him. So, of course, he's going to be like, we need to replace Lewandowski whenever he gets. Lewandowski's so good, though. But Erling Haaland is my player of the week. That dude there, freaking beast. Like, okay, so he scored. Basically, it would have been a 2-1 lead. But because of a play that happened back in the penalty area before the counterattack happened, before he scored, it was like a handball inside the penalty box. So they overturned that goal and then pushed it over to the penalty area, which of course, you know, the other team scored. And I was like, oh, well, fuck you then, ref. But then Erling Haaland came to the rescue and he scored. I was like, okay. I was like, there you go. He was like basically saying, hey, F you, ref. F you. I scored my goal, damn it.
Okay.
So. But it was, he scored the winning goal against Paderborn. And a 3-2 win. So, I mean, I got to say, dude, like, that dude is cold-blooded, man. I mean, he's a beast. He's a beast, bro.
The fact that
everyone
keeps putting him in as his player of the week, at this point, it's safe to say that he's probably going to be player of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I have to count him and be like...
Whenever we do our end of the year award show, it's probably going to be Erling Haaland by a landslide. I don't think there's anyone close to him.
No, not even Lewandowski was up there in my book. And Lewandowski is one of my favorite strikers.
Like, I think you maybe picked Robert Lewandowski maybe like 5 times, maybe.
Maybe.
But Erling Haaland, I think he's definitely the double digits.
Yeah, he's a legit... damn badass player. Like, he's just cold, bro.
But he's good. He's gonna be great in a Real Madrid jersey. But
I coughed off something bad. That right there.
Yeah, future Real Madrid star.
Yeah, right. I don't think so. If anything, they're gonna go for Mbappe.
Why not both?
No, they're not gonna go for both. You already know their playing style. They ain't gonna go for both.
Why not both? Well, maybe they bring back the 4-4-2.
Nah, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
Not right now.
Sure they can.
That's not the future.
Sure they can.
Nah.
Maybe they'll renew
his contract in Borussia. He might actually stay. Because I don't see any I don't see any striker that's
up there. He wants to win a trophy, man.
Hey.
He wants to win a trophy.
You never know, man.
He's not winning a trophy in Dortmund, man.
You never know.
He's not.
He's close to it.
No. Close ain't it.
Trust me. Hey, you never close know. Ain't you never know.
Close ain't it, dude.
All right, Hector. Who's your player of the week? Numb nuts.
My player of the week is Alexis Canelo, who scores a hat trick in Toluca's 4-1 win against Mazatlan.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was actually a damn good game for Toluca. Like, damn, didn't Mazatlan just come up?
They've been up now, yeah, for a while.
No, oh, okay,
but yeah. So I mean, yeah, it's good to see Toluca win some games. Hopefully they're in the playoffs. Well, they were in the playoffs last time, but, you know, very, very early exit. But yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate they had to play against Tigres. So Toluca gets a big win, and it's all behind Canelo. So, you know, good performance for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations to Erling Haaland and Alexis Canelo for Players of the Week.
Yee.
All right, Edward. We're not previewing any games, I guess technically. Because we are going to preview the Champions League round of 16 and the Europa League round of 32. So, Edward, my first question for you is, where do you want to go first? You want to go with Champions League first or go with Europa League?
How about we build up onto it? I would say let's go to Europa League first and then we'll build up to Champions.
All right. Sounds good. All right, Edward. So, we're not going to go in depth with these matches. One, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot.
But two, well, you know, we're going to be previewing these games at Unhinged FC. So make sure you guys be aware at Unhinged SN. So Network Unhinged on Twitter and Unhinged at Unhinged SN on Instagram. Be on the lookout for when we drop our episodes at www.unhingedsn.com for Unhinged FC.
Did I repeat that again?
www.unhingedsn.com.
Okay. For a second, I thought I heard www.com unhinged. And that's why I had to repeat it. Not, you know, for my sake. You know me and the names.
Names, numbers, You thought 600,000 was half a billion?
It's not that. My math is all off, man. You should know already.
Oh my God, Spencer. Spencer had something to say to you.
Oh yeah, man. Math is not my strong suit. Give me something creative to do, not math.
But anyways. But yeah, so we'll be previewing Champions League matches. So we'll be dropping on match days, which is for those of you who don't really follow Champions League like that, Tuesday, Wednesdays at www.unhingedsn.com. So make sure you guys follow Network Unhinged on Unhinged Sports Network at Network Unhinged on Twitter, or also follow us on Twitter as well, because we will also be sharing when we're live, not only Insert Name FC, but also Unhinged FC as well. So you guys can see what me, Edward, and Kelsey have to say about these upcoming matches.
Right.
All right, man. So the Europa League, even though we probably won't preview Europa League in Unhinged FC, but here is the preview for the round of 32. Good God.
Yeah.
All right. So here are the matches. Wolfsburg versus Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamo Kiev versus Club Brugge.
Mm-hmm.
Real Sociedad versus Manchester United.
All right.
Benfica versus Arsenal.
Okay.
Crven Zvezda versus AC Milan.
Right.
Antwerp versus Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Slavia Praha versus Leicester.
Okay.
Salzburg versus Villarreal. Mm-hmm. Braga versus Roma. Something there? Yeah. Okay. Krasnodar versus Dinamo Zagreb. Young Boys versus Leverkusen.
Okay.
Molde versus Hoffenheim. Granada versus Napoli.
Oh.
Maccabi Tel Aviv versus Shakhtar Donetsk. Leo versus Ajax.
Nice.
Olympiacos versus PSV.
Okay.
And those are the matches that were.
Well, I have to say, the reason why I was saying okay, or, you know, any little thing, is because I kind of already chose, you know, who would win. But at the same time, it's like, damn, these matches are actually pretty good, you know, like being considering their Europa League matches.
So just from this group alone, what is the game to watch for you?
The game to watch, honestly, we were joking around about it, but Real Sociedad versus Manchester United.
Two teams that are kind of falling off in their league tables, but maybe this is their consolation prize.
I mean, I hate to say it, but Real Sociedad seems a little bit more sturdy than Manchester United.
No, I agree with you. I just think the issue is just that the players for Real Sociedad are, and you can maybe throw in that same argument for Manchester United. There's a lot of young players in the team. And I feel like we're exactly describing Manchester United as I'm mm-hmm. saying this. And the players that they have experience are kind of up there in age.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
that's literally Manchester United's bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that's the game to watch, in my opinion. What would be your game to watch?
It's really, really difficult to say, to be honest, but I'm actually going to look at Lille versus Ajax.
Okay.
So Ajax got eliminated from Champions League, but now they're going up against Lille. Lille has actually been having a really good season over in Ligue 1.
They have.
And Ajax is Ajax.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Timothy Weah playing for Lille?
Yep. And Canadian sensation Jonathan David.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're both in there. So I mean, we can actually see them play right then and there against Ajax. And Ajax is actually a pretty formidable team. So it sounds like a good match as well. That was actually gonna be like maybe my number two would be Tottenham versus Wolfsburg, but that's a whole another story. So
even though Wolfsburg, that's not the Wolfsburg that you're thinking of.
Yeah,
the...
I know. That's
what I was like. It's weird. You pick Wolfsburg just because you like the name.
Well, you kind of do, yeah.
And they you're right just off of the dumbest of reasons to pick them.
I know.
But it worked. It worked. All right, yeah. Anyways. So in this, and I mean, I'm sure this is going to be a little bit difficult, but can you see an upset?
Upset? Okay, so on this one, I want to say this is hard. See, that's what I'm saying. I was like, these matches are actually going to be good. But you know what? Salzburg versus Villarreal.
Salzburg's the upset?
Yeah, like I think Villarreal might actually take it.
Oh, you think okay, Villarreal is the upset.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, like, RB Salzburg versus Villarreal.
Salzburg could. But Villarreal might actually surprise
okay.
them.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, okay. That's actually a good point. For me, when I look at possible upsets, honestly, I think Olympiacos beats PSV.
Okay. That's a good matchup, too. I mean, PSV with Ajax being up top and stuff, like with all the players that they have, they've kind of taken the light away from PSV.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I could see it happen. I can actually see it happen.
Yeah, so there is that. So, just kind of tell me right now, from seeing the round of 32, who is your favorite to win the whole thing right now?
Tottenham?
I'm with you too. I'm with Tottenham as well. I think Tottenham. I mean, Kane's back.
You got Son.
Hopefully, we start maybe the return of Dele Alli.
Yep.
Maybe. But I mean, this team is back. I think they can make a at least a Champions League run.
Yeah.
For the EPL. But I mean, if they are hoping to win some sort of silverware this year, which they do need to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jose Mourinho has experience in winning the Europa League.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it with Man. It's kind of funny. It's just he's repeating the cycle.
Yeah.
That he did with Manchester United, essentially.
I think he's just biding his time.
I feel like Tottenham has a really good shot.
They have a good shot. Like, honestly, Tottenham would be like.
And then when you look at all the teams that didn't, you know, that obviously finished in third in the Champions League group stages.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that like oh my god, I'm scared. Like, no offense to Manchester United, but I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't like last year where you're like, holy crap, Inter Milan's here.
Yeah,
which they did. I believe they did make it to the final.
Yeah,
but kind of like
you know those big teams, they're not actually down there. If anything, I'm surprised. Sevilla, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'm sure Sevilla is very hurt knowing that they cannot win their fourth.
I'm just saying though, but they were always a strong contender to be in that.
But now they're in the round of 16, which that's now a good segue to go to the round of 16 of the Champions League.
Yeah.
So good job, Edward.
Yeah.
All right. So
segue.
So here are the games for the Champions League: RB Leipzig versus Liverpool,
mm-hmm.
Barcelona versus PSG, FC Porto versus Juventus,
nice.
Sevilla versus Dortmund. Lazio versus Bayern Munich. Atletico Madrid versus Chelsea.
Oh.
Borussia Mönchengladbach versus Manchester City. Atalanta versus Real Madrid. Yeah. Say something or are you just going to stay there?
Well, I was just thinking. Well, okay. So two or three of the matches, it's kind of like a clear winner. So it's kind of like, to me, it's just like, you know, but you never know. With Champions League, there's upsets all the time.
To start things off, what is your game to watch?
My game to watch? Barcelona versus PSG.
Is this because of all the drama that's been building?
Yes. That's going to be, it's basically, okay, let me put it this way. As a Barcelona fan, and as a Messi fan, it kind of puts Messi in the spotlight to see what he's going to do, what he's going to bring to this game alone. Because with all the talk about him going to PSG, with all the talk with PSG's going to, you know, swoop down and grab Messi, take him with him, he may be in secretive talks with them or whatever, his dad, his agent. But at the same time, it's like if he shows up and starts scoring, does assists and everything like that, it's kind of like what he's true to his word. But if he disappears, you know, kind of like how he does in the very beginning of the matches, where he'll just be like surveying around real quick and he'll touch the ball here and there, but then it just kind of stays the same way the whole game. It kind of gets you a little bit where you're just like, damn, Messi, like, don't go ghost on us, you know, like, shit, mm-hmm. show up. So yeah, it's part of the drama, but it's like you got, at that point, you got Messi, Griezmann, Dembele right now, he's been showing up against Mbappe and Neymar and help me out.
Angel Di Maria.
Angel Di Maria. So Verratti. It's kind of Verratti. Yeah. So you got that. And so
Julian Draxler.
Yeah. Ironically, you're naming more PSG players than Barcelona Icardi. Players. So, man, I'm not really concerned about Icardi, to be honest with you. I'm more concerned with Mbappe. I don't know who's going to be able to stop him. If anything, I'm hoping Sergino Dest has that speed to stop Mbappe. Mbappe has that speed, but he also has that control.
You're
going
to have to hope that Sergino Dest can get back to where he was before his injury.
I know, man. That's. I hope.
He's been struggling.
He's been struggling bad.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, obviously for the U.S. fan base, obviously you want Sergino to be killing it right now. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, injuries happen. And unfortunately, he still hasn't necessarily gotten fully back from that injury.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for me, like, the game to watch, I have to say it's Sevilla versus Dortmund.
That's a good one.
I think this is the game. I think when we reacted to the Champions League round of 16, I think that we both kind of, this was the one that I said before, and I think it's just because, like, Sevilla looks really good right now. Dortmund's kind of getting back into the mix of things, even though they've had their frustrations. And yes, they do have obviously a new manager kind of right now. So there's like a lot of question marks with Dortmund, but I think the thing that I guess you can say is if there was a time for Sevilla to jump over this team, and it's not really going to be an easy task because you still have Erling Haaland, you still have Jadon Sancho, you still have Guerrero, you still have, you know, Thorgan Hazard, you have Marcos Royce, you have Gio Reyna, you have, good God, how many players does this fucking team have?
Mm-hmm.
They're more just keep showing up. More young players just keep popping up.
Yeah, they keep their prospects are off the chain, bro.
So it's still a challenge nonetheless for Sevilla. Sevilla is an efficient team. Yes, they can move the ball very well. I mean, they're the three-time Europa League final winners. But you know, this is Champions League now, and the teams get harder. The challenge gets difficult. So can they do it? And I think they can do it.
I mean,
Dortmund is definitely a big task.
Yeah. And I mean, Luke De Jong, you got Ciro Immobile. I think it's Immobile even like, he's on the bench or no?
Immobile?
For Sevilla.
Immobile? Mm-hmm. You mean from Napoli?
Is he in Napoli right now?
Yeah.
I might be tripping, bro.
The Italian?
Yeah.
He's been in Napoli.
Hold on. Wait for my computer to download.
Suso. I mean, they have Suso. They have... I mean, they Ocampo, have Rakitic.
Yeah, Rakitic. So, I mean, they do have...
Lucas Ocampos.
I mean, they do have, you know, some players there that also, you know, put some fear into them, into certain teams. But... like you said, Dortmund has the, I guess, more in depth kind of players.
I mean, if there's one thing that Sevilla probably has right now, is maybe just some consistency at manager.
Yeah. And so.
With Lopetegui.
Okay. But all right. So that's your game to watch?
Yep.
All right. And then what about your upset?
The upset. Oof. Man. You know what? I think I'm going to go with RB Leipzig over Liverpool.
Wow.
I know Kelsey isn't going to be too flawed.
He's going to try to bring up all his facts.
All the Liverpool fans right now are probably just like, fuck you, Hector. You've never been right.
Yeah. Well, right now...
I just think I like what I'm seeing from RB Leipzig. Liverpool's kind of struggling.
Yeah.
Not necessarily going into the right state of mind right now to be for them. But yeah, I don't know. I RB Leipzig. I mean, you know, they got to the semifinal last year. You know, obviously they hope they can do better. I mean, they do still have a pretty good team, mind you. They did that without Timo Werner. So just
putting it out there.
Putting that out there. And then obviously I'm pulling from a boy, Tyler Adams, but
okay. So I'm looking at the list myself and I mean, you're right. I have to agree with you on the opposite. I know, no offense to Kelce, bro. It's nothing bad. It's just Liverpool somehow has kind of tripped, you know, they've been tripping around. And so right now, maybe that's the focus. Maybe that's why they haven't been doing good in the league. They're just trying to focus on champions. Who knows? Excuse me. But yeah, I want to say that would be the upset right there.
All right. So we're both in agreement now. Who is your favorite?
My favorite to win it all?
Yep.
Atletico Madrid. Spence is probably going to be happy hearing that one. He's going to be like, oh, shit. But yeah, Atletico Madrid.
I mean, you know, so, you know, I kind of said this. I think I said this last week. I mean, obviously the trouble's not happening because they're not in the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's going to be Barcelona's consolation prize, at least from what it looks like this year.
Yeah.
To win the Copa del Rey.
Right.
Real Madrid's got to figure something out because if they can't win the Liga, then they got to have to make it. Definitely try to push for Champions League, which is not necessarily an easy task right now for them.
No, not with the teams that are on hand.
Not with the team that they have right now on hand.
Yeah, so.
Especially now with Eddie Militao being injured.
Yeah.
So that's a big loss for them. Yeah, because they're basically playing under man. But when I look at this, I mean, I said Atletico Madrid looks like they're in a prime spot to really do things, but I'm still with it. I think that Atletico Madrid could do it. I agree with you on that one, but I'm gonna go different. I'm gonna go different.
Right.
All right. You know, we just saw Tom Brady win his 7th Super Bowl. You know, now for him, you know, being 43 years old, and I think if there is a time to take advantage of a lot of teams not necessarily living up to par for themselves. Mm-hmm. I gotta go with Juventus.
All right.
I think it's time to see an Italian team lift the Champions League again.
Hey, and it's an omen. I mean, hey, pair with me. Tom Brady won his 7th, you know, his 7th Super Bowl trophy. Maybe it's time for Ronaldo, number 7, to, you know, win one right now with Juventus. Who knows?
How many Champions Leagues does he have now?
I have no idea. But I'm just saying, like, Cristiano Ronaldo is number 7.
Because what, he had 2 with Man U, right?
2 with Man U.
4 with
Real Madrid. Right?
Yeah.
So 6. No, what the hell kind of fingers do you have, bro? Fucking,
no,
you're worse than my kids.
Because I had the two from the Man U, and then I put the 4, that's why.
Okay.
But
6, and maybe this could be his number.
So 7. Weirdly enough, he's going for 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a different team.
Yeah, with a different team. So you see, everybody's going to be like, oh, conspiracy theory. But yeah.
Spencer, play the X-Files music. Oh, if we don't have the cover, well, actually, no, if we don't have the cover right there.
Play your own version.
There you go.
Okay, that's good. Okay, whatever. But you never know. I mean, you're right. I mean, Juventus does have it just in general as a team. They have something to show up this time around.
And it would be crazy to have the first American to win the Champions League.
Weston McKennie. That's awesome. I'm excited. But we'll see. There's still time. There's still plenty of time.
Obviously, this is just a preview of what we think just now. Obviously, Juventus could probably lose to. Okay, they're not going to lose the port.
You never know. They could. For all we know, we're wrong about the upset.
The fact that I literally just read who they're playing and I forgot who they were playing.
I could have told you that, but you know that's why I was like, "Ooh, you're right." But we'll see, man. We'll see. There's still time. There's still a lot of things that can happen in the time. But we'll see what happens, man.
No, I totally agree. All right, man. Reading is something that we should all be doing, but do we actually have the time to actually sit down and read a book? Well, if you are like me and Edward, then we do have the perfect solution, and that is Audible. Audible allows you to listen to books at your convenience. So if you guys don't believe me, Go to audibletrial.com/insertnamefcpodcast and start a 30-day free trial. And when you do that, not only will you be, you know, hooking yourself up with the opportunity to listen to a plethora of books. Right now, I am re-listening to American Sniper, The Story of Chris Kyle.
Right.
But, you know, see it for yourself. And when you do that, not only will you be helping yourself by reading some good books, or listening to some good books, to be more accurate, but you'll also be supporting Insert Name FC, because Audible is actually an Insert Name FC
affiliate. Partner. Yeah. So check it out and clicking on our link. And trust me, it's a good thing to do. And a lot of my friends, they do the whole, you know, listen to books on audio. They'll even post it on their stories. And some of them are like the uplifting books. A lot of them are like, this is what you can do to better your life, make it easier, et cetera, stuff like that. And I mean, they are not disappointed. So, I mean, they're going to it. They keep switching books and they keep, I mean, it works as well. Like if you're stuck in traffic on the car ride home, you kind of feel down. Sometimes music helps. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it makes it worse. And you just want to listen to somebody give you some inspirational stuff. You can go ahead and get the Audible, you know, get a book from Audible. .com. So this is me.
All right, man. All right. Three up, three down, man. Old tech.
Yeah. So old tech we grew up with, basically.
Old tech that we grew up with.
All right.
So we'll kick things off with Spencer. And his three down is AOL dial-up discs.
Yeah, I remember those. Dude, how many of those did you collect? A lot of times.
Did I collect? I mean, they just showed up on the mailbox.
They showed up in the mailbox. They gave them to us at school sometimes.
You had no we were just like, it was like the essential what was the mail, that the fake credit cards that that you would get?
Yeah.
That's essentially what those AOL CDs were.
Like, and for all of our, okay, let's put it this way. For all of our millennials listening to this who never experienced this.
Millennials?
Okay. You know, like,
or, you know, we're millennials, right?
Okay, let me rephrase that. For all you young people,
Gen Zers,
yeah, I guess so.
Jesus Christ, ever. Come on, we're millennials,
bruh. I don't consider myself a millennial. I just consider myself a 90s kid.
Period. Those are millennials.
Well, I don't give a damn. All right, shit. Anyways, so basically, these discs would be the. Okay, so you know how a lot of times you get the Xfinity things talking about, oh, hey, we're going to give you free internet if you sign up for, you know, for this certain price at a discounted price in the mail. You get those letters, you get postcards sometimes, Xfinity, AT&T, whatever have you. Back then, since AOL was basically one of the few companies that had internet, which was called dial-up, they would actually send you discs for you to install the program on your computer. And then you could try it out for 7 days, a month, I think, was the most that you could do. And a lot of people, what they would do is they would install it, use it for that amount of time, then uninstall it, then reinstall the new disk because it had a new password. And then they would use those 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days. Kind of like, I guess you could say the Xbox Live cards that come in the little packs for 3 months, especially the Grand Theft Auto ones, or even PlayStation Network, you get the 1 month kind of extra month for free. But yeah, so you would put in the code every other time in order for you to get that free internet. And a lot of people would abuse it. They would use it so much. Like a lot of people had just stacks of discs, stacks of them. Because sometimes, and this is, sounds so stupid, they would go to other people's mailbox and just take them. Because there was no barcode specified for whatever. It's just the residence for whoever. So yeah, I could understand why Spence would hate that shit. That shit would just pile up in the mailbox if you didn't check your mailbox.
Yep, exactly. All right, so number two, the ability of not being able to save game data on Sega Genesis, but the Nintendo had it. So what he's referring to is obviously the memory cards.
Yeah.
Sega
Genesis, you could save, but you had to get to a certain checkpoint in order for you to save in the cassette itself. The only thing I can think of that he's talking about, maybe the Sega Dreamcast.
He said Sega Genesis.
Damn, I'm surprised. The cartridge.
Being unable to save games. So, I mean, Because I know for sure when with Super Nintendo,
you could save it in the cartridge.
You could save it in the cartridge.
Yeah, you didn't have a memory card until the GameCube came out.
No, the Nintendo 64.
Oh yeah, no. Well, the memory pack. Remember the shit that came in the system itself. So technically, the system itself saved it as well.
In
the N64.
No.
Yeah.
No.
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 Really?
You had to have a memory card.
I don't remember. It was called the memory pack. Like on the in the console itself, no, it had that little
memory pack that you hooked up to your controller. Mm. Remember, there was a little slot in the back.
Yeah, there was a slot in the controller. Yeah. But remember, inside the system itself,
that's where you put the memory card.
Then what was that in the system? That little red pack that was in front of the console.
The red pack in front.
Yeah, that was to me. That was
that's the where you mean where you put the game in?
No. In front of that, there was a little tab. You would open the tab, and inside was a little memory. I promise, bro. That's why when you're saying that you have to install it, the only thing that was when you played Pokemon Snap in the N64 or the Rumble Pack. That's what I remember. Then the memory itself was in the game.
I actually had an N64.
Bro. I know. That's how I know. Because there was a time where we popped it open just to see what it was, and it turns out I think it was a memory pack.
The expansion pack.
Yep.
Yeah, but the memory card is what you put on your controller.
Let me see. Hold on. For anybody wanting to know about more of this, please send us a message or teach us a lesson, because maybe I forgot completely. And let's fill this awkward silence with typing. And
I'm stuff. Trying to tell you, man, that red thing. Let me see.
Ha! Wait. Man. Let me see. Uh-huh, yeah, the expansion pack. 64. Four. Come on. Load quick. Expansion pack for N64. Memory expansion pack for N64. All the systems came through with that thing inside it.
The expansion pack will enhance the graphics and play quality of these games, but it is not required to play.
Oh. Never mind. Yeah.
Maybe the guy that had a freaking Nintendo 64 could tell you that the memory card was the thing that you hooked up to your freaking controller, like I said.
Bro, I swear to God, I could have sworn you didn't have one. I
didn't have a memory card. I had the expansion pack.
Oh, but I'm saying, like, I know...
With the game, the console.
No, exactly. It came with the console, but...
The memory card you had to buy separately.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I could have sworn... Well, you had to buy them separately. PlayStation 1, N64... Hell, the Xbox,
yeah, but
I think.
But you had to put the memory cards in the... Like, you actually hooked it on the console.
Yeah.
The Nintendo 64, you hooked it up through your controller.
Well, the Sega Genesis, I guess, according to Spence, didn't have one at all. So you had to literally beat the games in one sitting.
So yeah, so there is that.
Damn.
All right, number one. Laser discs, not CDs. Way different. When we couldn't download a single off an album and had to be subjected to purchase of the whole shitty album for the one or two fire songs.
Damn. Just damn. I've never had
a laser disc, so. I will say this, like, I actually kind of miss CDs. And it was just because, like, if you were to buy an album, you had to, you know, just because of one song, you kind of had to, like,
buy the whole album. Yeah, you couldn't just go buy one.
And so, like, what I liked about it was obviously because you listen to the other songs that are in the album, the songs that don't get featured on the radio or don't get a video made for it.
Or like when you would buy like an Eminem album or the Nelly Country Grammar, and everybody wanted it just for Country Grammar or EI or the other songs. But then you would get the intro, Batter Up, you know, you get all these other songs that you really didn't know, even the outro. You know, it was like kind of a different thing because you don't really get that now with intros and outros, explanations to, okay, this next song is like this, and they started doing like a voice recording or something. Eminem still, you know, he still did it recently with the...
his skits?
No. Like, yeah, his little skits and stuff, but he did it recently with that, with the album of The Ringer, with The Ringer in it. What's it called?
It's the last album he dropped.
Yeah, so he kind of did that. He still brought it kind of back to old school where there was one song where it was like Paul was talking to him or something. Like
No. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I mean, like I said, it's just there's something about like albums. Like, I mean, okay, I'm not going to say that I'm really good at doing this because I'm really not. But whenever a new album drops, like of an artist that I like, it's not like I just listen to every new album comes out.
Yeah.
But whenever an artist that I like whenever they drop their albums, I don't think I'm going to do it, but I try to, like, when the album drops, like, listen to the whole album.
Yeah.
Just to, like, you know, see what songs I like from it and all that, or, like, you know, figure out if the album's trash or not.
Right.
But I don't really do a good job of it. Honestly, if there's a band that I will say that I'm really good at making sure listening to their album when it drops, it's probably Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'm a big Avenged Sevenfold guy. But aside from, like, because everybody's always like, man, hey, did you listen to this album? And you're like, I'll listen to it eventually, and then you don't.
Pretty much. Okay, so.
And then if I hear the songs, it's like just because it's like on shuffle of like a radio that I'm listening.
Right.
On one of the radio stations on Spotify.
Pandora or Spotify. Right, I get you. All right. So to reiterate, Spence's bottom three is the AOL startup discs, the ability of not being able to save game data on Sega Genesis, and the Laserdisc, not CDs. So. All right. I mean, do you want to go or I go?
I'll go first.
All right.
So at number three, phones that didn't have caller ID.
All right.
So, I mean.
Well, you had to buy the caller ID came separately. The caller ID
came separately. But then obviously you bought those phones that had
the
caller ID built in.
But you know what's funny? You didn't realize this maybe back then. You could get the phones with caller ID on them. But I think you had to pay a little, maybe $6 for your phone to actually get the names and stuff passed through.
No, but I mean, that's not the point. The point was just because the fact that sometimes there's the scams or just people that you don't want to like talk to.
Well, back then you didn't really get too many scams like how they do now.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Especially when you get that phone call from like a phone number that looks almost identical to your phone number.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, this is a fucking scam.
You're like, what the hell?
Now your phone does is like tells you it's like a spam risk.
Yeah. Scam.
Scam.
Scam likely or
yeah, so some I think
unknown. You're just like, yeah, no.
I think that's interesting. But anyways, no, just the whole fact that like now, like, you know, back then you had to like just pick up the phone and just, you know, hello. That's the one thing I will say about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, caller ID was such a game changer.
Oh yeah, it was.
Because also, like, not only that, but like, if you don't remember someone's phone number, you just, you know, look through your caller ID.
Or it was funny because then you'd like when your parents would be like, "Go pick up the phone," and then you're like, "Okay," and then you go and you look at it and you see who it is. It's Ma, it's mi tia. So then, like, okay, I'll pick it up in the room. And then fucking yelling through the house and shit. Like, I kind of miss that.
But yeah, so number three, phones with no caller ID.
Right.
Number two, I will say not being, TVs that didn't have a remote.
Damn. You're talking about like way back in the day.
Yeah.
The fucking turn off shits.
Not turn offs, but I mean. No, just like, oh shit, we don't know where we can't find the remote, so you have to
go get the TV. Well, it's worse now.
Oh, and then the TV that I had as a kid didn't like. Remember, I did like use a screwdriver.
To change the channel to channel three.
Safe.
Whenever
not safe, by the way.
Yeah,
not safe, by the way.
Sometimes a button will go press all the way in, so it would start changing channels automatically.
Yeah,
and you're just like, fuck.
Or like next thing I'm like, increasing the volume instead of going down.
Yeah. So it was like, oh shit. Sometimes it would pop up the menu and you're just like, ah, damn it. But I remember that. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I mean,
it's funny too, because you're always being told as a kid, like, don't stand so close to the TV.
So
and when you're like changing the channel, you're literally like standing close to the
next
TV.
You know, your mom sees you're like, hey, what did I tell you? You're like, I'm changing the channel, man.
Do you want to watch Sabado Gigante or not?
No, there was this one time we had the old TVs like that and we had lost a remote. Mom was like, well, because it's so little. I was like, all right, I got you. When Fry's was big, this was when Fry's was like big, massive, like everybody wanted to go to Fry's just to get their electrical shit. So I bought one of those, I don't know if you remember, I bought one of those giant TV remotes with the big ass numbers. I'm like, here, Mom, so you don't lose it. So that thing was like huge. That thing was like maybe like a foot and a half tall. Yeah. So she just laughed at me and I was like, hey. And then she's like, one time she's like, I lost the remote. I was like, how do you lose something that big? Like, damn. Like, but it was there in the couch, like in the middle of the cushion. You could literally see that shit sticking up. So I was like, hey, look, it's right there. We pulled it out and guess what? The old remote was there. And I was like, hey, look, the original remote is here too. She's like, oh. I was like, yeah. But I get you. I get what you mean, man. So what's your number one?
My number one... I'm going to have... It's like... I don't think people are going to like this one.
Uh-oh.
As much as I love the Game Boy, I hated that I had to change the batteries out. When you were able to charge your portable games... Or like the chargeable batteries.
Yeah.
That was a game changer for me.
Yeah.
Because it was just kind of like, or like if like maybe you don't have any more batteries. Like maybe you just, there's only like one. Because like the thing was the Game Boys, like the Game Boy Colors, they took 3 AA batteries.
Right.
So like, you know, at one point you're not going to have like the same amount, or you would have to like.
They took 3? I thought they took 2.
They took 3.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think so.
But yeah.
They took 2.
No, they took 3.
Alright.
You wanna challenge this again too?
No, because I remember the old Game Boy. The old Game Boy took
4. The Game Boy Advance took 2.
Yeah.
But the Game Boy Colors?
Yeah.
That one took 3.
That one took 3. Yeah. I don't think so, but alright. Yeah, I can see where you're talking about. Like, yeah, that shit was, I don't know how many times I would take the batteries out of the remote.
You
don't,
yeah, you would take batteries out of the remote.
And then my mom would be like, hey, what happened to the batteries? Oh, I got them right here with me. Oh, I don't know where they went. I thought you had them. Fucking make them an excuse just so you don't have to take out the batteries on your Game Boy. Let me save the game.
Because then if not, then you're literally going like days without playing on the Game Boy because you couldn't.
Especially if you play the Pokemon games.
Yeah, because you didn't go to the store to go.
Nah, I mean, we were little back then. Where the fuck were we going to go?
Exactly. Yeah. So it was just one of those things where, as much as I love the Game Boys, it sucked when you had to like replace the batteries.
Yeah. All right. So to reiterate, your bottom three.
My bottom three, phones that didn't have caller ID.
Right.
Losing the remote. Well, TVs that had no remote.
That had no remote, right.
And then number one.
The Game Boys basically with the battery. Right. All right. All right. So my number three, I kind of have to piggyback on Spencer's deal, but it's cassettes. Because whenever you put them in the cassette player and stuff, you know, they would go, they would play very nice and stuff. But then after a while playing them so much, especially with my parents, who left the cassettes in the radio, so that shit would toast up and heat up. All of a sudden, you'd be like... And then when you try to eject it, all the fucking tape thing was like stuck in there, and then we had to take it out and everything. Bro, that was a pain in the ass. And then if they really liked that song, or they really liked that music, like that old school Salvadorian cumbia music that they used to have on that, I'll be honest, like, I could jam to it now. But back then, I was like, oh my God, why is this shit playing all over again? Then when they would flip it, it was the same songs over and over. And they would flip it. Oh my God. But yeah, I hated the cassettes. I'm so glad we moved on to CDs and now it's MP3s and all that stuff. Like, you know, different kind of files.
Now you're just hooking up your phone to a Bluetooth speaker.
Oh yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so my number three was cassettes. Number two, on that, I have to say that Apple computers back in the day.
The Macintosh
computers, not even the ones that had like the colorful ones, but like the ones that you start up and you just hear, you're like, I can't make the noise, but you would hear,
what the fuck,
but you could hear the little like inside the computer itself, and you're just waiting for the screen to load, and it's like you didn't even have the Windows thing. It was like a lot of lettering and stuff.
Now that you mentioned the Apple computers?
The Apple computers, yeah.
The ones that like you get like the blue one or the green one.
Yeah, but they did was have one CD drive. That was it. I don't even think it even had a USB port at the time. It was all just mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, that was.
And then the memory was built in. So I think
the the mouse and keyboard, they actually had like a specific connection. Yeah. It wasn't a USB port.
Yeah, it was like, if I remember correctly, the mouse had like a circular one and so did the keyboard. It was like a circular thing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't any, you could use any universal keyboard and shit. No, these were like
legit. Yeah, they get like specifically.
You had to specifically buy one that was specifically for the computer of that kind of style. So if you bought an Apple, you had to get an Apple computer or an Apple keyboard. If you bought a Windows computer, a PC, you could get any keyboard that was PC, but you couldn't get a specific one that was like an older model. So for example, if you got like an older keyboard, you couldn't install it. Like right now, you could get an older keyboard because it's USB port. Maybe it's a 1.0, 2.0. You can install it even on a 3.0 and shit, but USB import. But, you know, back then, nah, that shit didn't happen. But yeah, those computers, bro, it's so slow. They only took floppies, no CD at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was black and white. And the fucking Asteroid screensaver, if you remember.
Oh
fuck. I mean, that shit fucking caused seizures sometimes at certain people. But yeah, that was my number two. Those fucking, oh, golly. And then my number one, maybe I'll get hate for this, maybe not. So I'm going on to the Walkmans or even cassette players. But the headphones. The headphones for those, they had a little fuzzy shit.
Oh, the ones that got caught on our hair?
Yeah. Like they were basically like, they had like a little steel little thing here. Looked like a fucking braces retainer shit, but over your head. And then the little fuzzy headphones, because sometimes they were good at first, but then I guess with the wear and tear, they started fading away. And sometimes the little fuzzy shit that would make it comfortable for your ears would just peel off. And then next thing you know, you're just here listening to plastic. You would hear music. And basically, if you didn't have the good headset or the good kind of Walkman, Discman, or even the cassette player, the headphones themselves wouldn't give you bass. They wouldn't give you had the little button. I don't know if you remember, you had the little button that said, oh, increase bass or increase volume, whatever. And now, like nowadays, you can just do that shit, click, 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 click real quick. But yeah, so, I mean, that was my number one, the headphones. So to reiterate, my bottom three is the cassettes. Number two is the computers back in the day. Number one, the headsets for the Walkmans or Discman.
Okay. All right, man. So the three up for Spencer is number three, payphones. They were pretty convenient. I mean,
they were.
Yeah, I mean, not.
Well, they were convenient if you had spare change in your pocket, which.
I think the greatest mind fuck was when you like when you hang up and you think that there's like maybe some change like. That fell off. It never does.
Yeah, that is true.
It never happened. But yeah, so no, yeah, payphones. I think. Well, I don't think you ever see. I don't think they're out there anymore.
There's a few, but they're really rare. If anything, I think like Japan or somewhere over there, over in Japan, they have like those payphones, but you can use your card to use them. Here, they still haven't done some stuff like that, I believe. I'm not sure. Not 100% sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, rotary dial phone.
Okay. I'm just going to say okay. Like, I feel like it would take a long ass time to dial.
I think it's just because it's cool because you're like...
Yeah.
So I mean,
for all you kids out there, trust me, the dialing wasn't just one button or stuff. Like they literally would use the fucking rotary phone and that shit would take a while. Like, the time it takes to dial, like, you know, a friend's phone number just to type it in the name.
Can you imagine when you're dialing someone's number next to you, you're getting a phone call?
Oh, God. Yeah, that shit. I don't think the phone call would go through with those phones. I think call waiting hadn't been a thing yet when the rotary phone came out. So I think you could just dial it as long as you left it off its a little thing. But yeah, okay.
All right. And number one. Beepers. Side note, I had a purple Motorola I kept for years.
Wow.
I remember...
Everybody thought they were so cool back in the 90s, beepers. For everybody who don't know what a beeper is, it's like, let's just put it this way. People who would carry their cell phones around their belts, like Dwight Schrute, but
it was a beeper. Basically, somebody would call that thing. It would start beeping. It would give you the phone number that called you, and you would just call that phone number back, pretty much. So it was kind of like getting a text message, but just a very annoying one. Because then you have to find a payphone if you weren't at home or something. But
or just find a phone. Because mind you, there used to be a time where you could go into a business like, hey, can I use your phone?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Here. So, landline. And they'd be like, oh, is it a long distance call at times? Sometimes it'd be like, it's a long distance call because my phone doesn't dial out there. You know, but nowadays, you know, shit, everybody has a phone.
Everybody has a cell phone nowadays.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, to reiterate, his number three is payphone. Number two is a rotary dial phone. I don't even know if I said it right. Rotary. Number one is beepers. So, all right, Spence, you got a weird one. But
a weird one.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Hector? What's your top three?
My top three. So, at number three, I'm going to go with the Nintendo 64.
Nice.
I guess you can say essentially that was my first personal console.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a birthday present for me from my parents. And then I remember just playing, I think Super Smash Bros. Was like the first game I had.
Super Smash, Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong Country.
I think you had Mario. I think. I'm not exactly.
No, I didn't have. I had Mario Party.
Oh, yeah. You had Mario Party.
But yeah, so.
I got fucking good at Super Smash Bros. Though.
So many legendary games, man, from that console itself. Because yeah. GoldenEye.
Mario Kart,
GoldenEye. So many good games.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would love if they were to bring back the Donkey Kong games.
Yeah. They will. They probably have some few in Switch. I have to look at.
But I mean like Donkey Kong 64 or like
I think they have it on the Nintendo store. Like, if you have to go online and download it, and I think they may have it, you can play it on the Switch. They have a lot of those games, bro. Mm. Yeah. So I'll check it out and I'll let you know.
Okay. I mean, sure. But yeah, so Nintendo 64 is my number three. Number two. Number two, this is just because I was younger, did sleep with a nightlight.
Okay.
But it was also kind of convenient because, you know, like it'd get really dark and I gotta go pee and, you know, I didn't have to like trip or anything because, you know, I had
nightlight. Instead of bumping all over the place.
Yeah, so I had nightlight. So, yeah, but I was that kid that slept with a nightlight.
Side note, because I didn't sleep with a nightlight, my pinky toes, both of them, are probably lodged in my body in a very wrong way. Because I kept hitting the door frames or the walls or something like that. So, yeah. That sucked.
Yeah, so. Nightlights, very underrated. Y'all can make fun of me as much as y'all want, but yes, I did sleep with a nightlight when I was a kid. Eventually, I stopped.
The 12th grade. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just joking. It's a joke.
I think it was like middle school that I stopped using the nightlights.
Yeah.
And then number one. It's really tricky at this point, but
really?
No, not really. Cable.
Yes.
Cable.
Cable. Yeah, that was fun. Dish, cable.
So, we had satellite and we had dish, which I mean they were cool too, but cable, it was that like even when it rained, like it wouldn't affect it. I'm not gonna say it doesn't affect it because it still affects it in some way, but
Not as bad as dish.
And what I remembered of it was, so the first time we had cable, I remember it was in the summer, and me and my brother were just flipping through channels, just finding whatever the cable had, and we were watching. We just got stuck on Food Network, and that whole summer, we were just watching nothing but Food Network. And specifically, the show was called Good Eats with Alton Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's his name? He was like this like scientific nerdy guy that like...
He basically breaks down like the food.
The science of food. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's how we got into... That was just weird how I was like, man, I literally spent the whole summer watching Food Network.
Yeah.
But it was actually an entertaining summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so. I bet. So to reiterate...
Nintendo 64, Nightlights, and Cable.
All right. Here's my top three. My top three, kind of have to chase you a little bit. The Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo. And that was, to me, the best system out there. Hell, I still play the emulator on the Switch. Some of the games are still on there. And that shit, to me, was awesome. Christmas parties were basically, that's what it was for me. Everybody was out there, remember? And then we'd just be playing Super Nintendo in my room or even living room. Everybody else was just doing whatever the fuck they wanted. But yeah, Super Mario World, hands down. That, by far, is my childhood right there. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam. You know, so it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. But yeah, Super Nintendo. Number two. How do I say this? Okay, so I guess you could say in the car, if you had a cassette player only.
The aux cord?
Yeah, basically, technically how the aux cord is now, or even the Bluetooth. But back then, if you only had a cassette player in your car, which in my family, legit, I was the first one to have a CD player in my car. Mind you, I got the first Accord I had the 6 CD changer in the trunk. So technically, I was the one that first got CD player. My dad still does not have a CD player.
My mom CD does. Changer, man.
Well, if you had the cassette player, you could buy the little cassette for like $15, $20, and then get the cord and then put it into your Discman. If you didn't have a CD player, and then you would just listen to it like if it was a tape going. So at times, you know, you'd be jamming so hard stuff, and then you would like finally when the song was over and it was about to switch over to the next song, you hear the tape going. Because there was no roll in the tape. It was just reading off of that little metal thing that it had on the sides. Mm-hmm. And then it was just reading off of there. So it was just doing mm-hmm. that. But that's basically my number two. So if Spence hears this, I know he knows what I'm talking about. Like that tape.
I mean, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, but...
I rode in that car before.
Oh, so that's right, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It feels like it's been forever, dude. So that's why.
Literally high school. Damn.
Yeah, high school.
Fuck.
Over 10 years, man. So.
Fuck, bro. Yeah, damn, we're old.
No, okay.
Shit, I was supposed to have a high school reunion.
They talked about that shit in 2017 for me. I didn't. I don't think anybody responded.
It was 2020, but.
So then my number one is the so this is gonna sound so weird to certain people, but my number one is gonna be the the electric garage door opener. That changed my life. Instead of having the manual one I grew up in a house where basically we would have to open the garage door manually mm-hmm. and lock it manually until maybe when I was in high school, mm-hmm. my parents decided to put one side garage to open electrically with the remote and everything. And one garage was still manual. One day the lights went out. So I was like, fuck, I was like, the thing doesn't work. And then I had forgotten my keys. And you know, a lot of times, whether you forgot your keys or I forgot my keys, like we'd be just chilling at each other's houses. But that time, I think you weren't home yet or something. And so I was like, fuck, I'm gonna have to get home somehow, some way. And then luckily, I jimmied our lock. And I think I was in middle school. And I jimmied our lock from the garage door opener. And as I popped it open, I didn't know we had sheetrock on that side. So then it just fell all out. And I was kind of grateful that, of course, the garage door opened. But sheetrock was heavy as fuck. Mind you, I'm a scrawny ass little kid and shit. Fuck, I can't lift that shit by myself. I left that shit there the longest time. I left that shit there until my parents got home. I just fucking closed it on top of the sheetrock and fucking just locked it. But I was so grateful for having an electrical garage when the lights, you know, are not. Because I hated opening the fucking garage. When I would ride with my mom, I would have to open the garage manually. She'd be like, hey, can you go outside real quick? And I'm riding with my mom. I'm a little kid. And she's like, hey, can you open the garage? And I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, click, unclicking and then opening it up. Little scrawny ass kid. Then she puts her car in the door. Ever since then, we discussed of having electrical garage door opener. So that changed. And even now, it changed my life. Because now I don't have to use the front door. And I just go right in, close the garage door, boom. I'm already...
I mean, that's your solution for everything, too. Whenever,
bro,
I, come,
yes.
whenever I come visit, it's not even...
Hey, bro, I'm outside. Okay, clink. I don't even have to go outside and meet this dude. I'm just like, clink. And it opens up. He just walks in.
When I say they use that garage door.
That's what I'm saying. That changed my life. Like, we don't even use the front door. Fuck the front door. The front door for us is the garage.
The garage is the front door. That's really how it is. And what's funny, because I remember there'd be days where I didn't have the keys to my house because, you know, me and Ever were latchkey kids.
Yeah.
Growing up. So for those who don't know what a latchkey kid is, it's a kid that has their own set of keys to their house. Latch the keys on the kid. That's what they call the latchkey kid. So, I mean, maybe now people probably see that as a bad thing because obviously, you know, you're home alone. And maybe some people call that as irresponsible parenting, but it was just the fact that our parents worked.
Yeah.
So, and we were just happened to be the first ones home.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it was that we, you know, we just...
Instead of chilling outside, waiting for our parents to show up. But
the rules were, obviously, as soon as we get in, lock the doors and then just... Don't answer the door for anybody.
It's like, don't answer the phone and don't answer the door if it's not us. That's why we had caller ID. What's up?
But yeah, that's a good point. So to reiterate yours.
Number three, Super Nintendo. Number two was the cassette / auxiliary cord. Then my number one was electric guard garage door opener. So there you go.
All right, so that's the show. We want to give a shout out to Unhinged Sports Network. Obviously, we're a part of the network. You can follow them on Twitter at Network Unhinged and on Instagram at UnhingedSN. Be on the lookout because Unhinged FC, it's happening this week. Champions League is back for the knockout stages. So catch me, Edward, and Kelsey from High Low Sports previewing matches for that games. So it will be dropping on match day at UnhingedSN.com. That's where you're going to be able to listen to us. So make sure you guys do check us out there. And, you know, just help promote the show, man. So you can, one, follow us on Instagram at InsertNameFC and as well as Twitter at InsertNameFC. So you guys, because we will be sharing when we're dropping Unhinged FC.
Yeah.
But once again, it's going to be on Unhinged's website. It's an Unhinged exclusive show. So UnhingedSN.com. So you guys can go ahead and listen to us preview the Champions League.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun, especially because we got, like, you know, Kelsey. Kelsey's a stand-up guy, I think. And he's a Liverpool fan. So, I mean, hell, he has a lot of writing on this.
We all are.
Yeah, we all are. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Liverpool. So, yeah.
All right. And then shout out to Alejandro Gomez, a.k.a. A&G Graphics, for the creation of the InsertNameFC logo.
I love you.
Okay. You can follow her on Instagram at a.g.graphics with an X. Once again, that's a.g.graphics with an X on Instagram. Slide into her DMs. Tell her that you're looking for a logo to be done, and she's got you. Also, shout out to our Chick-fil-A Player of the Year, Roosevelt Spencer. So trying to get used to saying Roosevelt.
Yeah, but what's Spaniards?
Our show's producer, our beat maker, our pronoun karaoke expert, just everything, man. I mean, you know, I hope you had fun in the Super Bowl. I don't know who you were rooting for. I mean, you like Alabama, so I'm sure there was someone from Alabama that's in the NFL on that team.
Right. I think he just went for the hell of it, bro. I think he just went.
I mean,
for the
he
hell
lives in Alabama, so it's not like a far.
Yeah.
It's not that far off from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but I mean, still, I'm pretty sure he just had fun with it, bro.
But yeah, but there's that. So I hope you had fun. But yeah, now obviously he worked because you guys are listening to this episode.
Hey, yeah.
But yeah,
he
so
still continues to work, that man.
Yeah, he works hard, and I mean he does so much for us. So we try to make things easier for him. We do what we can. We did get new mics.
Take what we can, give nothing back.
So cover. we can make
that's from Pirates of the Caribbean. Sorry.
We can make Spencer's job a lot easier.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, shout out to Spencer, man. If you guys are looking to Maybe you guys like his beats and you want to do some sort of collaboration. Follow him on Instagram at that guy dope.
What?
Once again, it's at that guy dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So that is the show, man. Catch us for next week as we have another show, episode 24.
We'll come up with the name.
The Kobe episode.
Oh, nice.
Like, we're going to figure something out.
I was thinking about soccer, bro.
I guess technically Tim Howard. I believe Tim Howard was 24 in Everton.
We'll think of something, but for now, it's the Kobe episode.
Anyways, but yeah, so there's that. So thanks for listening and catch us next week as we have more stuff to talk about.
All right. Take care, guys. And also, I know it's been over a year since we brought it up. Rip Kobe, rip Gian.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So it's been a year. So yeah, I just want to put it out there.
All right. Catch us next week.
All right. Catch us next week, guys. Take care.
Yeah. Yeah.